have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me tonight to the book of Action, chapter 1. Amen. Acts chapter 1. God is a great God. And I'm believing God to touch tonight and minister to us in a very powerful way. The book of Acts chapter 1. The writer puts down, he said, "The former treatises have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath placed in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the world." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your love, for your mercy. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power of your divine presence. We believe you, God, to move in this house. Use me for your glory, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right in the eye and say, "Hey, I feel good." Amen. I'm going to try not to preach too long tonight, but this will be the last time I get to preach till after Christmas, so y'all just hang with me. And then show up on the 28th. I have a week or so to contemplate. Glory. Amen. Notice the writer of the book of Acts begins with something unusual. He said, "The former treatise have I made of all that Jesus began to do and to teach." You know, the book of Acts, most believe, was written by the same writer that wrote the book of Luke, which was Luke, the doctor, the physician of the group. When you look at it, you see the writing is similar. But there is also some theologians that believe he wrote one book, and during the time that it was being transferred or translated, it somehow got separated into two books and ended up in two separate places instead of just one continual writing. But whether it's two books or one book, what it amounts to is he said, "What I'm writing to you now is not something new. I'm writing to you a continuation of what Jesus Christ began to do and to teach while he was on this earth." And what he began to do and to teach while he was on the earth was the great and wonderful power of God. Luke focuses on what Jesus did while he was on this earth, when he preached to the poor and he went to the brokenhearted and he healed the sick and he raised the dead. And he said, these are the things he did then. And the book of Acts is not just a continuation of Christ's ministry in the flesh, but it is the continuation of the Spirit of God through the anointing of the people who are in God. And that, my friend, is what we become a part of. And can I tell you, there is no end to the book of Acts because it's still being written. Could you say amen? You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" You see, in the beginning there was God. The Bible said, told Joseph, "Don't you name your son Emmanuel, which which is God with us. And we need to understand that God dwelled with us in this world, in the flesh, dwelling in with the people. But when Jesus died, he was no longer in the flesh. He became a spiritual being. And he was going to leave, and he said, look, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'll pray the Father. He sends you another comforter, another power, another anointing. And so therefore, we had a time when God dwelled in the earth with people, but now he dwells in the earth in us. And because of that, we have become the very instrument to which he wants to reach a lost and dying world. Could you say amen? In the book of Luke, Jesus goes in and he quotes to them, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. The work of Christ is not finished. Hello? Come on, church. I don't want to have to amen myself. It'd take me a lot longer, and I just don't feel like I got the energy tonight. So I need some amen. My amen corner, it didn't show up tonight. Glory. I need some volunteers. Amen. Because if I have to walk down there and say amen, walk back up here, it's going to take me all night. And I'll lose my place and have to find it because I, you know. We're doing everything the old-fashioned way tonight. I don't have my iPad. I left it at home. I called Frida. Where are you at? I'm at church. So I'm doing the paper thing tonight. Lord. Amen. But church, the reality is the work of Christ is not finished. I know that when Jesus was on the cross, he cried out. The last words he said was, tetelete, translated, it is finished. But he wasn't talking about his work being finished. He was telling us the redemptive plan has been finished. He was saying the transaction that redeems you from the reality of sin is finished. And now, because he died at that cross, I've got a right to believe that my sins are paid for and my sins are gone, and I can live in a power and a grace of God through the redemptive power of his love that sets me free of the things of this world. Could you say amen? Amen. Paul said it this way. He said, life in Christ had made me free of the laws of sin and death. Why? Because of that redemptive plan. I don't know about y'all, but I got people walking around, well, brother, you know, my sins just weigh me down. I said, get rid of them. Come on, church. I don't understand. People won't walk around talking about my sins this, my sins that. My sins are gone. That's what that old song said. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. They're as far removed as darkness is from dawn in the sea of God's forgiveness. That's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Why? Because it is finished. Could you? Glory. Oh, this is not your usual Christmas message, in case y'all haven't figured that out yet. Glory. See, I think it's time we started giving back to God instead of taking all the time. Amen. The transaction is done. He shed his blood to pay the price for our sins. The past, the present, and the future. Glory. Well, we got to start all over again. The Simmonses showed up. We're just proud y'all got here. Glory. Amen. Glory. If you'll turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1. No. Seriously, because of his blood. Listen, church, Christ does not have to die every day for you to be redeemed. Say, well, now, preacher, what are you talking about? Hebrews 9 and 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, does that mean once I'm saved, I'm always saved? No. But it means that if I sin, I've got an advocate with the Father who will take my sins and place them under that blood. And though it's not an overflowing fountain, it just covers automatically. But when I call on his name, there is the power to redeem me again through the blood of his love. Could you say amen? Glory. Redeemed. He had such a power that when he had, the redemption was so great that when he came from the grave, people were coming out of the grave with you. Glory. See, his redemption didn't just go to us. We got some people think, oh, well, I'm saved, you know, and I don't know what I'm going to do with them Old Testament folks. God's redemption covered the past, past sins, past indiscretions, went all the way back to the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve messed up and said, we're going to cover that up. And anybody, even those of old that believe, come on, church. Praise be unto God. When he said it is finished, he said, I'm going to shatter the gates of hell. I'm going to make a way out for everybody that'll believe in me. And it's not just for me, but everybody from Adam all the way down. His redemption didn't just go from the cross forward. It went from the cross back to every man that's ever lived and breathed on this earth. And it will cover every sin that man's ever going to commit from now to eternity, because his blood is sufficient and because he said it is finished. Could you... Glory. That's why Paul or David wrote, and he said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, for the King of glory shall come in. But who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts is the King of glory. Could you say amen? Notice his blood wasn't just sufficient for the past. It was relevant for his day. Glory. His blood was so strong, it took the sins of Mary Magdalene and washed them away and made her free. Glory. His blood was so good that it cleansed those that believed in him. The centurion who believed was saved, and his house also. Glory. Well, if his blood was relevant in that day, how many of you believe this? His blood's relevant today. Glory. I get so sick and tired of our modern day preachers talking about we need a new word. No, you just need to get a hold of the real word. Glory. I think we got too many of these real word preachers that ain't got a clue what the real word's all about. They coming in talking about, oh, just get the real word. And then next thing you know, you're just going to be happy and grinning and smiling. You're never going to get sick, never going to have a problem, never going to have a trial, never have a tribulation. I got news for you. You get the real word, all that might happen to you. But you also going to understand, I got to live right, I gotta walk right, I gotta talk right, I'm gonna be of the power of the redemptive grace of his word. Glory. He died not just for the past but for the future. Glory. Notice something, church. God is not an anticlimactic God. What does that mean? He has this bad habit of saving the best for last. Glory. Hello? Come on, church. I've told this before, but I'm going to tell it again. I'm coming through Louisiana one night, and it was late. I don't know if y'all understand, Louisiana don't have counties, they have parishes. And a lot of their parish seats is kind of like some of our old county seats. Everything in town circulates around the courthouse. You go down to Carrollton, you'll drive around the courthouse when you go through town, it's the county seat of Pickens County. A lot of ours are like that. Scottsboro, you got to drive around the courthouse in the middle of town. I was in this little town, this parish town. It was the parish seat, and I wheeled through the town, and I turned to, had to go to the right because it's one way all the way around to get back to the other side to go out. There was one little old store open. Now, we're talking old-fashioned. Some of you older folks don't understand what I'm talking about when I talk about drink boxes. You talk to these young people now about a drink box, they go, huh? You know, because they walk in, open a glass door, and get something out. We used to have boxes, and a lot of stores would set them out front. You'd pick a thing up, reach in there, and get a drink. You'd pop the top off on the drink opener. Hello? He had a drink box out there in the front of that store. It was open 24 hours, so they just left the boxes out front. They didn't lock. They just was open. And this dude was sitting out there on the drink box when I walked up, and he said, well, I'll be in there in a minute. I'm just kind of taking a little time off. It's 2 o'clock in the morning or better. I said, well, if you don't mind, I'll just rest a little bit. I want to get out the car for a while. He said, okay. So I got me a drink. Popped the top, and I clawed up on top of the box and sat down on the box next to him. He's over there on one side of the door. I'm on the other side, and we're talking. I look up, and over the top of the courthouse door across the road is written these words, yesterday is a prelude of tomorrow. And I'm sitting there looking at it, and I said, you ever thought about what that means? He said, yep. He said, you know, my brother owns this place. I've worked for him for 15 years. I'm over here every night looking at that. He said, I've studied it a lot. He had big water in the back of his mouth, and he was sitting there, and he said, you know, I figured out over the years what that means. You ain't seen nothing yet, Lord. Amen. You know, church, the reality is, no matter how great things have ever been for you in Christ, you've not seen anything about what God's got in store for the church. And I think it's time we in the church world quit living in the past. I think it's time we quit talking about, oh, we used to have a move of God, and we used to see people saved, and we used to see people healed, and we used to have an old Holy Ghost hold down. It's about time we started saying, God, you're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And the God that healed in the past is still a God that can heal right now. And the God that moved in the past is a God that can move right now. God, I want you to fall down right now. Well, that's not biblical. Don't tell Samson. Because while he was dying, he said, Lord, one more time, let me feel your spirit. I'm down, I'm out. They're making fun of me. I'm blinded by all kind of stuff. But I believe you can hit me one more time with that spirit. I'm going to do something. Glory. Come on, church. Y'all looking at me like y'all don't understand. Do I not describe the church when I say I'm down, I'm out? I've been blinded but all kind of stuff, and the world's making fun of me and sport of me. But I believe it's time for the church to say, God, one more time, pour out your spirit, your anointing, pour out the move of your grace, and let us feel that presence one more time. And I believe in the latter part of what we do, it's going to be greater than the former. Well, preacher, we just don't believe that's biblical. Look with me to the book of Haggai, chapter 2. Haggai's been praying. He said, God, I need some help. Things ain't going good. Man, he describes them. He said, look, you live in a day when you're living in sealed houses and the Lord's house is laying waste. Y'all may not believe this, but we got folks that think their house ought to look like the Taj Mahal, and as long as the church ain't falling down, they can live with it. We more worried about how much money we're going to make working our jobs, and we'll work 80 hours a week, but we won't put 10 minutes in trying to help the church do something. I told you this ain't normal Christmas. Amen. I figure I'm here to the first of the year no matter what. Lord. Did you hear that? It ain't long. Glory. I hope that ain't a sign of the time. Glory. But the reality is, church, we've got people that are so worried about getting something in this world. Amen. They're not worried about what's going to happen with the church or how the church is going to do. Come on, church. I'm headed somewhere. Amen. But Haggai says, oh, you live in sealed houses. He said, all of this stuff's going on. He said, you earn money and you earn wages to put them in a sack with a hole in it. In Haggai chapter 1, if you want to read that, it says it basically the same way I just said it. He said, basically what amounts to is you're making a lot more money than you used to make, but you still ain't got what you used to have. And can I tell you, from a young man, from the time I was a kid to now, I make a whole lot more than I ever made in my life, but I don't have what I could have had back then if I had this kind of money. Come on, church. I mean, I talk to young people about what it cost when I was a kid. They think I'm Noah. They don't realize we're not talking about 20, 30 years ago. I remember buying Coca-Cola's for 10 cents, got mad when they put a penny tax on it because I had to get another penny bill to buy a Coke. Glory. Candy bars were a nickel. You could take one of them little old bags and fill it up for a quarter. Yeah, because you had penny candy. That penny candy's a dime now. Same candy, too. Some of them's even smaller. Still charge you more. Come on, church. Smile at me. You say, preacher, what you getting at? Well, we're now living in a day where we make money, but we don't have nothing to show for it. We're having to make more and more money, and we're trying to keep up with the Joneses, and we're borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, and Luke standing on the side holding his hand out. That's good stuff. Well, preacher, what's that got to do with it? Right in the middle of his prophecy, Haggai says this: for the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. In this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. They're trying to figure out where to build the temple, how to build it. They're working on it. They're trying to get it back up. They're arguing that we don't have it in the right place, and we got to get it right. And the whole time they're fussing, God's trying to tell them, just build the thing. It doesn't matter if it's on the exact right spot. When you get it built, I'm going to fill it with my glory. I'm going to touch it with my power. Can I tell you, church, it's time we quit waiting to get the right theory and the right theology about how we're going to do it. We just need to get busy and find some way to reach a lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we build it, God will come. Yeah, preacher, we got to preach the truth. That's not what I'm saying. But we got so many people talking, I don't know how to witness. Like the first bunch had a college they went to. The only educated one in the bunch was Luke. The rest of them was fishermen, carpenters. Paul come along, he was the only doctorate theologian they had in the bunch. But if you read history, it said, these are they that have turned this world upside down. Why? Because they weren't worried about whether or not they're going to get it right. They were worried about doing it. Glory. We got so many people, well, I've never been to witnessing school. Who cares? No two people can be one the same way anyway. You can't get some theory and walk up and say, okay, this will work. It won't always work. But if you love people and you get anointed of God, you can reach souls for the kingdom. Come on, church. Y'all may have figured out where I'm headed with this, but it ain't going to get no better. So you might as well shout now. Glory. The theme for this year, let your light so shine before men. It's time some of you took the cover off. Glory. Oh, preacher, you're preaching to the choir. No, I'm not. God would have put it on my heart to preach to the choir. I'm preaching people need to listen to me, because if we set an example of them, they ain't here to catch on. Glory. I don't know about y'all, but I learned a long time ago, if you get busy, there's always somebody that ain't in a bunch will come up and help you start doing something. You don't have to know the ABCs of witnessing. All you got to do is care about people. Talk to them about the Lord. It don't matter what they do it. I mean, I'd stand there today, lady cooking me an omelet, and I'd tell her about the Lord. She's getting excited. Fellow walked up and said, you talking her mind? She said, why don't you hush and leave us alone? Hello? He was just trying to find out what we was talking about. She was interested, so she didn't want disturbed. Glory. Hey, that's what it's all about, church. It's getting to that place where we understand God's expecting something from us. And if we do it, then he will do his part. Notice the Bible didn't say sit around, wait on God to build a church. He said, do all you know how to do, then stand still. And what's going to happen? You're going to see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, I got to hurry. Y'all getting quiet again. I lost my amen corner. I got to get another set of recruits. Glory. Amen. Realize in my early ministry, I got taught a great lesson. I was preaching at Northport one night. Northport Church of God was like popcorn in a kettle. You got going right, there'd be somebody everywhere. Hey, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God. They'd be bouncing up and shouting, and you'd be up there preaching, and the more they bounce and shout, the harder you'd preach. And they'd kill you sometime. And I was there one Wednesday night, and they were sitting there looking at me like, y'all. I quit. I just stopped. I got back to the office. Brother Hall walked in, flipped his Bible on the desk. He said, you ever do that again, boy, you'll never preach here. I said, what did I do? Because I thought I'd done something wrong. He said, what are you talking about? I said, they got quiet. What did I do that made them act like that? He said, dude, You were plowing in their field deep. And they ain't about to say amen when you're wearing them out. He said, and right in the middle of a good plow job, you stopped, got off the plow, and went home. Lord. So guess what? You get quiet. I'll forget about this watch. Hello? Well, preacher, God's through with the church. Y'all heard that. You know, we might as well hit cruise control because we can't do nothing else. I mean, we're outnumbered and the Muslims are taking over. They're taking over because we ain't doing nothing. They're out witnessing, telling people about God. We've even got atheists putting up billboards and we can't get nobody to knock on somebody's door and tell them Jesus loves them. When somebody don't even believe in God or put up a billboard, try to change people to their thinking, we ought to be changing them to the thinking of somebody who can change their life. Come on, church. We got the answers, but we got them locked up in a closet somewhere. And Joel said it's time for the bride to get out of the closet. And I think it's time we opened the door and got out. Let the world know we do exist. And we're not backing up. We're not giving up. Listen, Joel chapter 2, verse 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former and the rain moderately. And he will cause it to come down to you in the rain of the former rain and the latter rain of the first month. And the floor shall then be filled with wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. Amen. And ye will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which is sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty. Glory. And be satisfied. What did he say? He said, get to work. I'll give back everything you already missed. The church may have missed some healings, but they're coming back. They may have missed some divine presence, but it's coming back. If you'll get to work for me and do what I called you to do, God will move. The blessings of God aren't going down. God's getting better. Listen. My generation has stopped dreaming. Bible said it was going to happen in the last days. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will have visions. But we stopped dreaming. Come on, church. I count myself being an old man. I don't know about y'all, but you go by mileage, and I got a lot of miles. Glory. If I was a car, they couldn't move me off the lot. Glory. I got too much body work and stuff that needs to be done. I got too many miles. Folks will be going by, I don't want that one. I want a better car. Glory. I'm one of them you could buy cheap. Smile. Some of y'all looking at me, and I know y'all sitting right by me on the lot. Glory. But have you ever noticed that if you stop dreaming and you stop hoping, you stop having any joy? You stop having any ability to do anything? And can I tell you what's wrong with my generation? We've stopped dreaming, and we've left it over to another generation to have hope and dreams of something happening in their lives. And it's time we put our blessed hope back into one who is coming for us and begin to dream again about a God that can do the things we know he can do, and begin to stand up for what God can do in the church and believe my God is still able to do that he was able to do in the past. Could you say amen? Amen? We're losing our hunger for God. We're losing our hope. God's not as powerful as he used to be. He must not be, because we don't believe it anymore. We pray for people without believing something's going to happen. Hello? I remember when I was running revivals, we'd have something happen in a church, and there'd be people in the church going, they'd almost have a heart attack because somebody got touched. Skepticalism. When I was in North Dakota preaching, I had a Mormon, or a Mennonite rather, came down, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and there was people going, oh no, ain't no Mennonite got filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, well, just tell me this. All I can tell you is he was out for about 30 minutes speaking in tongues, laying on the floor, and he got up going, I wasn't a real good Mennonite, but I guess I ain't one at all now. Glory. Amen. People saying, oh, that kind of stuff can't happen. It can.
If it can happen in North Dakota, it can happen in Alabaster. We just got to start believing again that my God is the same powerful God that worked in the past. He's still able to change lives. He's still able to deliver drug addicts and alcoholics. He's still able to put people's lives back together. But we've got to get back in service for him and realize he is able. Listen, there's a reason we've lost our hunger. It's because we're not going anywhere. We used to talk about people saying, well, a grave ain't, a rut ain't nothing but a grave with the two ends kicked out. The problem I see with the church world today is we ain't got ruts, we got graves. We're not going anywhere, we're just here. Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me in both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. If you're not going to witness, why should he pour out his spirit? Notice, put Luke 4:18 back up there, please. I'm throwing them off because it's not in the order I've got it, but I'm going to pull it back up because I want you to look at something. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because Jesus takes the writing of Isaiah and he's reading it and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because, he said, I've got a cause. I've got a reason for the anointing. I've got a reason for God to touch me. I've got a reason because I've got something going in my life. Can I tell you what's wrong with the church? We don't have a cause anymore. We come to church and we sing a few songs and we go home and our cause is not the cause of Christ. Our cause is not the cause we were called to. And for that reason, we no longer see the outpouring of the Spirit. We've got Church of God's that's colder than a midnight in Montana. Glory. Y'all may not have been there, but believe me, midnight in Montana can be cold. 9 o'clock in Montana can be cold. A couple of Sunday nights ago, we were in Big Timber. It was 17 below zero outside. I don't know about y'all, but that's cold. I don't ever hear that junk I heard when I was a kid. It's too cold to snow. Whoever come up with that needs to do some rethinking. Glory. But we've lost our cause. We have nothing to live for, nothing to work for, nothing to be doing anything for. And I know it's 15 minutes after and I'm supposed to be quitting, but I'm not through. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. Why did he anoint me? Because I'm going to preach. I'm going to work. I'm going to do something. And if I'm not going to do anything, there's no reason for him to anoint me. I've got to have a cause to need the anointing. Notice this. If I'm not doing anything, there's no need for the power. He reads this to them. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering sight to the blind, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Put the 20th verse up if you've got it. Can you just pop to it, or do I have to kind of make it up? Because I can tell you what it says. I just want them to see it. But if it's too much, we won't worry with it. He said, God hath anointed me to do all these things. I've got a cause. But notice how he finished up. This day, these words are fulfilled in your presence. Till that day, he was Jesus of Nazareth. Till that day, he was Joseph's boy. Till that day, he was just a normal person with a normal name. But from that day forward, they understood he was claiming, in some respect, to be the Christ, the anointed one. That's what Christ means. It means he's the anointed one. He is the Messiah. Amen. Glory. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? All of a sudden, he steps into who he was. And he said, now, I'm not just anointed just to be anointed. I'm anointed because I came to do a work. I have a destiny at a place called Calvary. But at that destiny, I'm going to multiply. And the anointing that is in me is going to be passed to everyone who takes the seed of my blood into their life and lets the power of that anointing hit them. And because of that, greater things ye shall do because I go unto the Father. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? We need to have a cause. And if we've got a cause, we've got the anointing and the power and the grace of God to do the work God wants us to do. We've become a narcissistic society. Uh-oh. A couple of y'all going, what? We're fulfilling Scripture. Timothy said in the last days, people will be lovers of their own selves. That's what I'm talking about. It's all about us. We don't do nothing in the church unless it's going to benefit me. Hello? I actually have people sometimes look at me and say, well, what's that going to do for me? Nothing. It ain't about you. Let me walk over here. It didn't go over good on that side. It ain't about you. We got people come to Sunday school. They don't care if we get the lesson just as long as I can talk about my little old problem because it's all about me. It's not about you. It's not about what's happening to you. It's about Christ and his work and what he wants to do in this world. In the, I told y'all, y'all should have shouted a while ago. Glory. We come to church. Well, I'm not getting my needs met. So you run over where some guy will make you feel good, and now your needs are getting met. Your needs not getting met. You're just tickling your little fancy because it's all about you. Some of y'all can get that smirk off your face because I know who I'm talking to. Glory. I mean, let's sit down and have a pity party. I bet you I can outdo you with some pity. Glory. Yeah, preacher, my back hurts. I got a hangnail on my left finger. I had to stay home. My hangnail was killing me. I'll swap legs with anybody in this building. Come on, let's get the pity party going. How many of y'all like going to a doctor every other month because you got to make sure your heart's right and your cancer ain't going and your sugar stays closed? And let's face it, I'm not a healthy person. But you know what? I get up every morning with a made-up mind. Today is a day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. And I will not let these things hold me down. As long as there's breath in my body, I have a cause. And that cause is a lost and dying world and the souls that are in it. And as long as I've got a cause, I've got an anointing. And in that anointing, God can move in my life and set me loose in his... I know this kind of preaching ain't going to build a church because folk ain't going to come to hear somebody talk about something that don't belong to them. But you see, where you miss it is, if you get too busy doing his work, everything else takes care of itself. Some of y'all need to spend more time worrying about working for God instead of worrying that you're going to pay your bills. And God will help you pay them bills while you're working for him. That preacher's crazy. Certifiable. I'll testify for you. Listen, it's important that we understand for our own good that we're nothing without him. See, we come in church, we want to profess our rights. And we want to claim our blessings when we ought to be proclaiming him king and understand that without him we don't deserve nothing. I don't know about y'all, but I'm not here because I was born with a golden spoon in my mouth and was raised in church and turned flip-flops all the days of my life. I didn't deserve one thing I've got in my life right now, but I'm here because of him and because of his blood and because of his power and because of his anointing. And because of that, I understand that in him I live and move and have my being, but without him I am nothing. Real worship is born from the knowledge that I can't make it without him. I come through that back door understanding today I need a touch from God, because this afternoon I'm going to need it. I come through the door tonight saying I need a touch of God, because tonight or tomorrow I'm going to need it. I can't make it without him. So when they're singing, I'm going to worship. When they're not singing, I'm going to worship. Why? Because I need to touch God. Amen. The only way people get to serve is to answer the question. You got to be able to say, wait a minute, it ain't about me. It's not about whether or not I'm going to get blessed. It's not about whether or not I'm going to get towed home something. It's about whether or not I'm going to accomplish something for him. We're hung up on the benefits. I'm fixing to close with this. This is in bold black print, which says the end. We're hung up on benefits, but nobody's doing the job. Any of y'all ever worked at a job just gave y'all kind of benefits you didn't have to do nothing? Oh, wouldn't that be a great job? Just go in, punch you in the morning, sit to death, goof off all day, punch, go home. You get all the benefits that go along with it. Well, we as Christians believe that's the way it works. Well, we just show up on Sunday morning, pay our little tithes every once in a while, give a little offering when it don't hurt. Why, God's just going to bless us and we get all them benefits. You don't do the job, you get laid off or fired, whichever one comes first. Come on, church. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm going to ask one question and I'm going to close. How are you eligible for benefits if you're not doing the job? Stand with me all over the house. Our overseer felt led to tell the churches of Alabama that he was starting a ministry initiative. In November, there was a time of preaching on evangelism and reaching out. You got another thing for January. Somebody said, well, now, why would he do that? Because he's the pastor of the state of Alabama. Yeah. He might be fulfilling that job better than most people that never told us what we needed to do in the local churches. But I sat around and I thought about it. Why is it our churches aren't blessed? Why are we in such turmoil in the church? Why are so many preachers throwing up their hands and quitting? And it might be that we don't deserve the benefits because we're not doing the job. I don't want to be like some people who's been on the job for 40 years that figures what's the worst can happen. All they can do is fire me. I'm just going to coast to retirement. If that's the case, I'm retiring tomorrow because I ain't coasting. I'm not just trying to get there. I'm wanting to get there with some work going on. I want to earn the benefits because I understand the benefits get better as the years go by. I don't know about y'all, but I've not got my benefit package built up right yet. Hello? My 401k in heaven ain't full yet. I need some more deposits. Because when I retire, I want a big cloud. So I said, God, no respect to person. I just want a cloud. But I want to be sure I get on one. And to do that, I've got to understand I don't get there off of what used to be. I'm going to make it because I'm doing something right now. Well, you're not as old as I am. Joshua's buddy was 85 years old, and he said, you might be quitting, but I'm going to go take that mountain over yonder. Hello? 85, and he's ready to go to war. We need some folks like that in the church. Well, preacher, old folk can't do nothing for God. Hogwash. I learned bus ministry for an 85-year-old woman in Mississippi by half. Kill me. She got more energy than I did, and I was 20-something. She's bringing 100-something people to church every Sunday on buses. And we sat there talking about, Auntie O do that. She didn't think she was. She thought she was too young to do anything else. I might say, well, that's not going to happen, preacher. I understand that. But I'm going to ask you one more time. And if you're not doing the job, what makes you eligible for the benefits? I got the blood of Christ, and that makes me eligible. Makes you eligible for the program. But the benefits are according to how you produce. Read the Bible. He said the husbandman went through the vineyard. If he found a branch that wasn't producing, what did he do to it? He cut it off. And I think we got so many dead branches on some of our churches that they rattle when the wind blows by. And it's time we got busy. Somebody said, I don't like this kind of preaching. You better lay out the next few weeks. Because as I told you a while ago, the best shout material's already gone by. Because it's time we quit waiting for somebody to make us happy. Start hearing the truth of God's word. That God's looking for somebody who will stand up in a very dark world and say there's still a light of hope that can change your life. And I know who he is. Father, I thank you today for your love and mercy. God, move on us with your love. Touch us, God, with your power, your authority. In Jesus' name.